In Gaza, the death toll is creeping towards 20,000 as Israel continues to wage war against Hamas in the besieged enclave. Around 40% of those killed are children. Here's UNICEF spokesperson James Elder in a press briefing yesterday.
The Gaza Strip remains the most dangerous place in the world to be a child, and day after day that brutal reality is reinforced.
Thousands more are missing and believed to be dead underneath the rubble. Conditions for those still alive are terrible, with nearly 85% of the population being displaced and little food and aid allowed to reach them. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council reconvenes today to discuss a humanitarian resolution to stop the fighting that won't get shot down by the US. Joining us now is Louisa Lovelock. She's Baghdad Bureau Chief for our editorial partners at The Washington Post, and she's been reporting on this. Louisa, welcome back.
Good evening.
Let's start with the conditions for people in Gaza. We know there's little aid, little food reaching people there. What are you hearing from people on the ground and how they're faring?
I mean, it's pretty terrible. We've had 2 months of fighting now, and almost half of the 2.2 million population is squeezed in a tiny area around the southern border. And conditions are dire. It's not just about the risk of violence from the skies. It's also increasingly about hunger. You know, there's very little food to go around. And with nearly 85% of Gazans now forced from their homes, about 1.3 million of them live in shelters. And that means they don't have sanitary conditions. There's one toilet for every 220 people in these places. There's one shower for every 4,500. And as a result, there's a new risk for many people, and that is disease.
And given that risk of disease and given the skyrocketing numbers of those injured, we're also hearing that access now to any kind of medical care is almost non-existent. Several of the last functioning hospitals in the region were raided or attacked by Israeli forces in recent days. What is the state of the health network in Gaza?
The state of the health network, I'd say, is very bleak. It's worse in the north, where the bulk of the fighting has concentrated. That's a place where the primary care facilities have largely been shut down. If you are wounded, it is very, very difficult to get an ambulance to take you somewhere unless you are essentially lucky enough to be physically near one, so you can be carried, you can be taken on a donkey cart. In the south, access to healthcare is slightly better, but it's still an incredibly bleak picture. Supplies run out frequently, and there are just too many patients for the spaces that there are.
And Louisa, we've nearly reached this terrible milestone of 20,000 confirmed dead in Gaza. I want to ask you, because there's been doubt surrounding these official numbers from the US, from the media, as it comes from the health ministry in Gaza, which is governed by Hamas. From your reporting, do you believe there's any reason to question these numbers at this point?
We've spent a lot of time looking into this, because as you say, that there have been a lot of questions. And from everything that we have learnt so far, the numbers are broadly accurate. And, you know, it's not just us saying this. It's not just the media. It is also the State Department who are using these figures. It is senior US officials who are saying they believe they're broadly accurate. The Israeli government themselves have also said that the figures are broadly accurate. So while there is a very politicized debate over whether or not to take them seriously, and in calls with the IDF, they will often say, why are you using Hamas numbers? Almost as a rebuttal to any charge you may try to investigate. But at the end of the day, we have no evidence at this current moment to say that the numbers are radically inflated. If anything, they may be an undercount because many people are under the rubble.
You know, I want to ask you one of the reasons for that high death count is likely due to the kind of weaponry that the Israeli army is using. Over the weekend, reports from a U.S. intelligence assessment revealed that of the 29,000 air-to-ground munitions that Israeli forces have fired into Gaza since October 7, only a little more than half of them were precision-guided. What does this tell us about Israel's strategy in this war?
Well, I think what it says is that at a high level, there are officials who have decided that these weapons are appropriate, and that raises real concerns over the extent to which the military is taking serious steps to prevent civilian harm. That said, there's been a lot of focus in recent days on the fact that these are unguided, they are so-called dumb bombs. But when you talk to civilian protection experts, they will also say that precision weapons are also killing an awful lot of people. If you drop a bomb in a highly built-up urban area, which most of Gaza is at this stage, whether it's a precision-guided weapon or a less accurate, quote-unquote, unguided weapon, you're still going to kill people, and indeed, both types still are.
Mm. And Louise, we only have a few seconds left, but let's just quickly touch on the UN Security Council meeting again today to draft a resolution to halt the fighting. What do we know about this new resolution and what it might take to get the US to not veto it?
Well, the language seems to have been watered down from what we're hearing. The use of the word ceasefire may not appear in the final version of the draft because that is a very controversial word for the United States to back. But the key issue here is aid. Who gets to inspect it? Is it the UN? Is it Israel? Israel doesn't want it to be the UN. And the question that we're all asking and the thing we're all waiting to see is whether the United States agrees on language or whether it vetoes again.
Louisa Lovelock of The Washington Post, thank you so much.
Thank you.